had ever been. Only she herself. Little good it would do her if they came to the undertomb and called aloud, and she was lost in some spiraling tangle of tunnels half a mile away. She imagined how she might hear the echo of voices calling her, echoing down every corridor, and she would try to come to them, but lost would only become farther lost. So vividly did she imagine this that she stopped, thinking she heard a distant voice calling. But there was nothing, and she would not get lost. She was very careful, and this was her place, her own domain. The powers of the dark, the nameless ones, would guide her steps here, just as they would lead astray any other mortal who dared enter the labyrinth of the tombs. She did not go far into it that first time, but far enough that the strange, bitter, yet pleasurable certainty of her utter solitude and independence there grew strong in her, and led her back, and back again, and each time farther. She came to the painted room, and the six ways, and followed the long outmost tunnel, and penetrated the strange tangle that led to the Room of Bones. "When was the labyrinth made?" she asked Thar, and the stern, thin priestess answered, "Mistress, I do not know. No one knows. Why was it made? For the hiding away of the treasures of the tombs, and for the punishment of those who tried to steal those treasures. All the treasures I've seen are in the rooms behind the throne and the basements under it. What lies in the labyrinth? A far greater and more ancient treasure. Would you look on it?" "Yes." "None but you may enter the treasury of the tombs. You may take your servants into the labyrinth, but not into the treasury. If even Manon entered there, the anger of the dark would waken. He would not leave the labyrinth alive. There you must go alone, forever. I know where the great treasure is. You told me the way 15 years ago, before you died, so that I would remember and tell you when you returned. I can tell you the way to follow in the labyrinth beyond the painted room, and the key to the treasury is that silver one on your ring, with the figure of a dragon on the haft. But you must go alone. Tell me the way." Thar told her, and she remembered, as she remembered all that was told her. But she did not go to see the great treasure of the tombs. Some feeling that her will or her knowledge was not yet complete held her back. Or perhaps she wanted to keep something in reserve, something to look forward to, that cast a glamour over those endless tunnels through the dark that ended always in blank walls or bare, dusty cells. She would wait a while before she saw her treasures. After all, had she not seen them before? It still made her feel strange when Thar and Kossil spoke to her of things she had seen or said before she died. She knew that indeed she had died and had been reborn in a new body at the hour of her old body's death, not only once 15 years ago, but 50 years ago, and before that, and before that, back down the years and hundreds of years, generation before generation, to the very beginning of years when the labyrinth was dug, and the stones were raised, and the first priestess of the Nameless Ones lived in this place, and danced before the empty throne. They were all one, all those lives and hers. She was the first priestess. All human beings were forever reborn, but only she, Arha, was reborn forever as herself. 100 times she had learned the ways and turnings of the labyrinth, and had come to the hidden room at last. Sometimes she thought she remembered. The dark places under the hill were so familiar to her, as if they were not only her domain, but her home. When she breathed in the drug fumes to dance at dark of the moon, her head grew light, and her body was no longer hers. Then she danced across the centuries, barefoot in black robes, and knew that the dance had never ceased. Yet it was always strange when Thar said, "You told me before you died." Once she asked, "Who were those men that came to rob the tombs? Did any ever do so?" The idea of robbers had struck her as exciting, but improbable. How would they come secretly to the place? Pilgrims were very few, fewer even than prisoners. Now and then new novices or slaves were sent from lesser temples of the four lands, or a small group came to bring some offering of gold or rare incense to one of the temples, and that was all. Nobody came by chance, or to buy and sell, or to sightsee, or to steal. Nobody came but under orders. Arha did not even know how far it was to the nearest town, 20 miles or more, and the nearest town was a small one. The place was guarded and defended by emptiness, by solitude. Anybody crossing the desert that surrounded it, she thought, would have as much chance of going unseen as a black sheep in a snowfield.